When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard a sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, 11, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?"
When I was in my 20s, I was a church youth worker. That meant that I spent a lot of time with young people, helping them to learn about being a Christian. And at that time, the way that we tended to talk about knowing God, or to describe having a relationship with God, was to say that you can have a friendship with Jesus. Put your hand up if you've ever heard it described in that way. A few people, maybe some of you, used that phrase when you were invited to describe your own relationship with God. And of course, the idea of being a friend of Jesus actually comes from Jesus himself, from the passage in John that we looked at last week, where Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, I call you friends." That's why I can say Jesus is my friend. I am a friend of Jesus. I have a friendship with Jesus. But if I'm honest, working with young people and with often the challenges that young people face as adolescents, which is a tough time of life, I always found that description a little bit confusing. It is true that Jesus is our friend, but if you're a young person, he is not the sort of friend that you can play football with, or go to the cinema with, or go shopping with, or just hang out in your room if you're feeling a bit lonely with. He's the sort of friend who's kind of there, but not there. Maybe a bit like Harris's description of the on-off relationship. I became a Christian when I was 12, and when I was first a Christian, the thing that I found hardest was believing that God is really there. The problem I had was not an intellectual problem. I believed that God was real. The problem was that a lot of the time I could not feel God. I didn't feel that God was there, that God is here. Now, at school, I was fortunate to be part of a really vibrant Christian union run by amazing youth workers. That was one of the reasons I became a youth worker. And they often ran special events and weekends away and summer camps. I imagine some people here went to events like that themselves as young people. And when I was in those places at those special events, I really felt God. I felt so close to God. I remember I spent back from the age of 12 to 14 just crying with joy every time I went to an event like that. But when I got back home, and when I got back to my church, which was a lot like this church, I found it really hard to feel God again. It was a bit like that a fire had been lit inside me, and I'd go to this special event and the fire would burn bright and hot, but I'd get home and it would just start to go out again. I wonder if anyone else has ever felt like that, faith-wise. I wonder if you have ever struggled to feel God. And I wonder if you've ever struggled to feel God in church. So for the first few years of being a Christian, I really needed those special events to keep my faith alive and to keep that fire going. But after a few years, by the time I was 17, something changed. I got to a place where I just knew that God was there. So that meant even in a boring church service, I could recognize and feel God's presence. Maybe I just got familiar with knowing how it feels when God is there, which is often, for me, very unspectacular. I don't know what you make of the Pentecost story. I think for many of us, it is a strange story. What are we to make of the rushing wind and the tongues of fire? It is so far removed from our own experience. It is so far removed from what happens here, week in, week out. But for me, what is important about the story is not the spectacle, but it's the symbol. It's what it stands for and is signifying. In the Old Testament, fire was a symbol of the presence of God. Moses encountered God in a burning bush. When Moses led his people out of slavery in Egypt, God led them with a pillar of fire at night. And God appeared to those same people at Mount Sinai by descending on the mountain in fire. The message is that God is in the fire. So when tongues of fire come to rest on each of them, and it's very specific that it's not just a generic fire, specifically individual tongues of fire touch each of their heads, the symbolism is clear. The message is that God is now present with each one of them as individuals, just as he was present and near to Moses. That means they no longer need to go to the temple to find God, because God has come to them. So in some ways, they have become a temple. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit, a place where God is present. Their own body becomes a meeting place with God. I like that. Not just their minds. Their own body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit, a place where we meet God. So the point of the story is not the spectacle, the wind and the fire. The point of the story is about God being present and with his people. Now, as a young Christian, I needed the spectacle to keep my faith alive. I needed something big and exciting and energizing. I needed to go to the big event so I could really feel God. But as time went on, I understood that even without tongues of fire, metaphorically or literally, God was there. And that even without tongues of fire, God is here. As Christians, when we place our trust in Jesus, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that means that the Spirit of God is personally present with you and with me. With us collectively, but also with us personally. And the Spirit becomes like a fire in our hearts. And I don't know about you, but I want the fire of God in my heart. When Pat talked about the Spirit being energy and giving her energy, I don't want my faith to just be in my head and be an intellectual pursuit. I want to feel that I am alive with God, that I breathe God, and that God is what gives me life. Now, when the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, two things happen. The first is that they speak in other languages, and the word tongues in the story means other languages like French or Greek or Arabic. And then the second thing that happens is that their fellow Jews hear the good news of what God has done in their own mother tongue, their first language. So people speak in a new way and they hear in their own language. The Spirit of God makes God personally present by speaking in ways that each of us can hear and understand. And what that means is that God speaks your language. That means that God speaks Igbo, as Margaret does, or Creole, as Chris's mum does, or Spanish, as Olga does, or South London, as my son does. It also means that God knows how to communicate with us so that we can hear and understand if, for example, we have autism. God knows how to speak to us in a way that we are safe and comfortable and understand. It also means that we can trust God to speak gently to us if we have a history of trauma. It means that God can speak to us in music, or images, or movement, or nature, if we find words hard. Chris finds words hard. It means, like me, if you are creative, you hear God speaking to you through stories and films. God may even speak through a sermon, maybe even this sermon. I wonder if God has been speaking to some of you, but you haven't realized because you didn't think that God would speak your language. Tracy, I know that God speaks your language. I know that God speaks to you in a way that you hear and understand. God speaks each of our languages because he wants us to know that he is here and present with us. He comes to us in that hugely personal way. So when whoever it was said they have a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus, that is what I'm talking about. During the Second World War, the vicar here at the Good Shepherd was someone called J.B. Phillips. I suspect Jean might just remember him. No? She's too young. J.B. Phillips, who was the vicar, is relatively well known because he went on to translate the New Testament into contemporary language. And what originally inspired him to do that was his experience in this parish, because he discovered that the teenagers at the Good Shepherd didn't understand the AV Bible, the authorized version of the Bible, the version in traditional language. So he started a project beginning with the letter to the Colossians to translate it into contemporary language. And every time there was an air raid, he worked on his translation when he was in the bomb shelter. The Holy Spirit doesn't just enable us to hear God in our own language in a way that we can receive and understand. The Holy Spirit also inspires us to speak in a new way so that other people can hear and understand. And I love the fact that that story is part of our church history. And I wonder, what if God is filling us with his Spirit so that we as a church can speak in a new way? Maybe even to speak in a way that today's teenagers really understand. As a young Christian, I didn't feel God in church. Partly, I think, because my church expected me to speak their language. And I wonder, how would it have felt if they had spoken my language? And how would it have felt if they had translated themselves so that I understood what was happening? Just imagine being in a church like that, where we learn to speak other languages so that other people can hear and understand. So I wonder what new languages God wants us to learn as a community. And I wonder who God is speaking to here today. Because God is here, and God is present, and God is speaking. Are you listening?